everything we want to be done.
I'm delighted to be joined by young superstar Dara Campion. He's already laughing, and Tinder star, of course.
Yeah.
God help you.
Jokers to the right, clowns to the left of me, and I'm stuck in the middle with Brian Kelly.
It's nice to see smiles on people's faces, and it's nice to think that you've helped in any small way to put those smiles there.
Hello, listeners, and you're welcome to another episode of the We Are Mead podcast, where it's a little bit of a different one this week. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Sophia Payne and Rebecca O'Keefe from the Nafina Club. Girls, really appreciate your time. It's a little bit of a different topic tonight, but we really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Mel, for having us.
No worries.
Thanks for having us.
We'll probably get straight into it. It's a little bit of a different one for our listeners. I'm sure most people in Meath are well aware of what happened pre-Christmas with Nafina and getting caught up in all sorts of issues with fixtures and the dual club. And it was pretty much down to the success that the club enjoyed in 2023, obviously in both the camogie terms and ladies football. But as a result, we've seen a kind of crazy freak instant whereby the two teams ended up in All-Ireland semi-finals. I don't think it was probably ever done by a Meath club and probably will never be done again, but it seemed to happen quite a bit towards the end of last season with different clubs, and Nafina were caught in the middle of it with obviously the Camogues and the ladies footballers playing two games, two All-Ireland semi-finals on the same weekend in different venues, to say the very least, huge distances between them. So this is probably nothing new to the listeners who are listening. They'll be well aware of this happening with inter-county teams. And I know, Sophia, you'd have probably seen it with Meath in recent times as well, with the likes of Megan Tyne, with the ladies footballers and the Camogues as well. So to kind of summarise it, Rebecca, I think it's fair to say you've wrote a strongly worded letter, which is like an open letter to the LGFA and the Camogie Association, which we might just run through to give it a bit of context, and we'll get your opinions on it then. So this is an open letter addressed to the LGFA and the Camogie Association, and it reads as follows. We, the undersigned, write to you concerning insufficient player protection stemming from lack of accommodation or fairness in fixture arrangements. With specific regard to Meath's Nafina ladies, the football team achieved intermediate county and Leinster titles, while the Camogie team secured the senior county and intermediate Leinster titles, with 9 players starting on both squads. The impractical fixture arrangements and subsequent failure to make provisions for these unique circumstances severely compromised player fairness and safety, compelling the team to participate in All-Ireland semi-finals within a time frame of fewer than 24 hours at venues situated more than 300 kilometres apart. This occurred subsequent to previous instances where our team had to compete in Camogie and ladies football quarterfinals and semi-finals during the same weekends. Despite the Camogie Association repeatedly asserting their dedication to player welfare and the LGFA acknowledging the dual players' role, claiming they will endeavour to facilitate them as far as is practical, the official response to the fixture clash was dishearteningly dismissive. The statement we asked them to which day they'd rather play and acceded to their request blatantly contradicts the fundamental objectives and principles of both associations in safeguarding player welfares and safeties. The response showed a lack of regard for the players involved and was received as both disrespectful and insulting. While we are incredibly frustrated and disappointed by the association's lack of consideration and recognition of our difficulties, we acknowledge that this issue extends beyond our club. Therefore, we are taking this opportunity to spotlight a persistent problem affecting clubs nationwide over the years and proposing actionable measures to rectify this situation. Fundamentally, we demand that our governing sporting bodies show respect for players and actively ensure their protection. We implore the LGFA and Camogie Association to progress towards a one association model for both codes. This approach includes assisting county boards in developing a one club charter at grassroots level and formulating a calendar that coordinates fixtures. We believe such a move can foster a more collaborative approach to the two codes by mitigating schedule conflicts and reducing the impact of dual players. Reiterating the many calls for amalgamation over the years, we urge Unified Association to commit to advancing this initiative and engage in a meaningful consultation with the relevant bodies. For us as players, we hope a roadmap for integration that prioritises player welfare is given serious consideration. Yours sincerely. So that's quite in-depth. There's quite a lot happening there. Rebecca, we'll probably start with you because you are the author of this open letter. To try and pick the bones out of it and I suppose summarise the main points of it, really, the top two or three points. I think it's gone into it in really good detail and it's given obviously real life examples in the case of Nafina, but how would you summarize it?
Yeah, I think the overarching two points would come down to player welfare and fairness. So regarding player welfare, I mean, we detail it there, but I think a lot of clubs throughout the country, many players throughout the country are no strangers to this demanding schedule, especially dual players. The fixtures, the clash of fixtures, the subsequent fixtures. I mean, player welfare should be top priority, and the associations lay that out in their code of ethics and their charters. And I think we need to really give serious consideration to it because, I mean, even speaking from our club, a lot of players were under such unfair pressure, physically and mentally, in these games. And then that kind of also leads into the fairness element, because as a team, you want to show up on a level playing field against your opponents. You want to have the best chance at winning that game. And if you are compromised due to these fixtures, you're not coming into that game in the same position as your opponent. So I think if we're looking at this, how can we, you know, rectify this? And this affects clubs throughout the country, so this call is not new, but we're not asking them to reinvent the wheel. We're asking them to simply, the LGFA and the Camogie Association, to come together, unify as one. And we hope that that would mitigate fixture clashes. It would hope to coordinate calendars better. We would hope that it would also trickle into grassroots, that like younger underage players, to get that culture going. And we have seen it work with the men's. So we think there is already a template there that can be implemented quite easily. So yeah, I guess that kind of summarizes it all up. And you know, while we achieved great success, I think we should be promoting players playing both sports if they want to, rather than, you know, having to possibly choose between one or at worst case scenario drop out. So I really hope that, you know, there is an actual push this time, and we capture this momentum, because there's a lot of talk between clubs, and a few teams were impacted by this year alone. So I do think there's momentum here now.
For sure. And naturally, you'd like for the associations to stick to themselves and to be the LGFA and be the Camogie Association. But as we've seen pre the semi-finals, it clearly isn't working, because Nafina made enough noise and enough requests and, I suppose, looking for answers as to why, you know, a solution couldn't be agreed before the games took place. But clearly, the two associations couldn't come to a solution, which is why, as a consequence, we're kind of sitting here tonight and we're talking about this.
Yeah, and we did make a number of requests. We did try to come to some kind of arrangement, and we understand that they're voluntary run. We get this, but I do think player welfare has to be first and foremost. And, you know, I do have to say, you know, Meath County Board in the past 2-3 years has made great strides. I do have to say that. But I do think, you know, that's not the same across the country. That's not the same across the board. So I do think, yeah, we need to really focus on player welfare here and fairness, and do as much as we can to get that. And are we doing enough? Are these organizations doing enough to protect their players? And I think unification could be a huge step towards that.
Yeah, very much so. Sophia, we'll bring you in as a player and a key player for both teams as well. You were one of the 9 players that was referenced in the letter that was obviously on duty twice inside 24 hours, 300 kilometers apart in 2 almighty games, All Ireland semi-finals. It's crazy stuff, really. Just talk us through, before we sort of go into the games and the physical and, I suppose, mental toll that they maybe took over you, About the week leading up to these two games, like what was it like? Because obviously there was a great build up, great excitement in the area. It was a fantastic time to be associated with Nafina. But behind the scenes, there was all this noise and discontent about the fixtures and the clash and everything that it must have been an unwelcome distraction in many ways.
Yeah, I suppose it was something you couldn't help but be distracted by, because you're constantly looking to see, oh, has either association budged? Like that was what you were constantly checking. You're checking your phone. Oh, is that message coming in to say something has been moved to this weekend rather than next weekend? I think that was particularly in the two, like the first week of the 2 weeks leading up to it. And then I think as a core group of players, we did just kind of say that weekend when it had passed and it didn't look like there was any budging, we had just said, right, we need to get on with it. And I suppose there was a buzz around the community then, about like putting up bunting and flags and everything like that. So we kind of tried to enjoy that side of it then and move on from the frustration and just channel the frustration more to try and go on and win the team matches in spite of everything. Obviously not successful in the end in doing that, but I think yeah, it was definitely something that's constantly playing on your mind. And like yeah, I think, and I remember the week leading up to it, we found out that the team we were going down to play in Cork also had players involved in a Camogie semi-final. Now they're not under the same club, but they had players playing for both clubs. And like that was the distraction and a frustration. You're looking up how many players do they have? Are we on a level playing field in that sense? Are they going to be at the same disadvantage to us? Instead of just focusing on the game and the task at hand. So definitely there's a lot of background noise that you're had in the weeks leading up to it.
And this wasn't the first episode of this happening in the lead up. Like you were kind of contending with this right the way through the provincial stages and into the All-Ireland series then. The only difference was you were winning games, and maybe that momentum was sort of carrying you through. So, Sophia, put yourself in the shoes that you almost put everything into the first game on the Saturday. You get the win. Is that the approach that you can't? You always hear managers and players talking alike that it's one game at a time. In many ways, was it a case of you had to just put everything into that first game on the Saturday to try and get a result, and then just go and see what you could offer then on the Sunday? Or how exactly did you approach the two games within the one weekend?
Yeah, definitely. I think we were trying to take one game at a time, but like the one thing that I would note from the whole experience was we won an All-Ireland semi-final there on the Saturday, and it like to say it was a fantastic achievement for our club. First time we're ever gonna get into an All-Ireland final. First time our club has played in Croke Park. But could you really enjoy it? Because in the back of your head, all you could think about was, oh God, I have to get on a bus. I have to go play another match. How am I physically going to do this? And I suppose that was in the back of what, nine players' head, probably 13 across the panel, and management as well. And like it was straight away, final whistle went. You had football managers coming on, pulling you off the pitch to get into ice bath. To say it was hectic is an understatement, but yeah, you're straight away into what can I do to get a win the next day. And then I suppose from a perspective like Rebecca, she's coming to watch us play on the Saturday. She's only playing football and she's watching her teammates get tired for the next day, and she's not in an All-Ireland final. So I just your heart goes out to those players that it was really tough on. We had the enjoyment and the fortune that we were already in it in an All-Ireland final, and anything on top of that was a bonus, but our teammates didn't, so you have to factor that in as well.
That actually was going to lead me into the next point. Like Rebecca, how difficult. I come from a club that's football only, so naturally, we would put everything into just football. We don't have the hurling or end of it. But for the players that didn't play both, and the Sunday was everything to them. They didn't have the Saturday. They didn't have the joy, the euphoria. Their Sunday was effectively their All-Ireland final. I know it wasn't just that, but it was an All-Ireland semi-final. And they're the ones that you kind of forget about behind all this. I know it's hard on the dual players physically, mentally, and everything, but as Sophia says, at least they got the opportunity to run out on All Ireland final day in Croke Park. The girls on the
Yeah,
Sunday who
definitely.
were just playing that didn't.
Yeah, 100%. Like we, but even though we weren't playing on Saturday, we still had to go to the game, hang around. Of course, we were delighted for our teammates. We wanted to celebrate their success too. But as Sophia said, we kind of had to, okay, move on to the next. And then we had to go down to Cork. So it was a lot of expended energy at the same time as well, even though we hadn't played, and then all the emotions. And yeah, I think dual players and non-dual players, like nobody was really, everyone was affected in this. Sorry. And so yeah, the next day then we almost felt more pressure then, because we don't have the excuse of being tired the day before, so we have to like perform for everyone. And yeah, it was, there was a lot going on. And we then felt that like our loss couldn't be divorced from the situation we found ourselves in, and that was really hard to swallow. And while we then went on and celebrated with our teammates who were in the Camogie All-Ireland final, there was that like, oh, we could have also had that chance too. And yeah, so that's tough. And I think everyone felt that as well. But like it was bittersweet, and it shouldn't have taken away from any like this huge success we had that season. Like we got to win a county, won a Leinster, got to an All-Ireland semi-final. Like these are amazing achievements. And then when you take it all together, it kind of gets lost amongst it all. But yeah.
So that's at club level. Sophie, I'll just bring it back to the inter-county scene again. And I know you'd have played with the likes of Megan and obviously Aoife Minogue more recently, players who are capable, good enough, and willing, most importantly, to play for their county in both Camogie and ladies football. But like we've seen in the men's game, probably close to a decade ago, the kind of days of seeing dual players playing for their county are almost done now, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately it is like it's gone that way. And like watching what Aoife and Megan did in the past number of years, like you can only take your hat off to them, but it's extremely hard to see it going forward that many more players could do it. Like for example, I just take one game that stands out in my head last year for Aoife was we played a championship against Westmeath in Westmeath, and then she came in, I think it was an afternoon game, and she came in from that game. There was some shower facilities in the dressing room, and she had to travel down in her own car to Waterford to play championship for the football team the next day. So if it continues the way it is, you're driving dual players away. And I think it's a shock and pity, because as a dual player myself, and having played underage county dual the whole way up, like you want to be able to give girls that opportunity, and you're possibly going to lose the best players in both codes. Like Aoife is a prime example. She's one of the best players Meath has in football, and I'd give her the nod for the best player in Camogie. So it'd be shocking to see it go that way. So I think it's something that we should strive towards to action, and there's no reason probably why you can't. Like even looking at our league schedule, there's plenty of weeks we have off, and even the football started their league much earlier, so there shouldn't be that clash, but it has gone that way.
So it comes down to communication or lack of in this case. But Rebecca, I think Sophia's nailed it there really in that the consequence of this, ironically, is the LGFA and Camogie are going to lose a couple of their top assets due to the ignorance, for want of a better word, or stubbornness maybe is probably a better way of putting it. That than communication and just finding a solution to this, because players like Megan Tyne, who we've seen playing dual, has focused now solely on the football because it's just not humanly possible to do both anymore.
No, it's absolutely the point to make. You're going to have a situation where players choose one or stop playing. And in a world where girls and women drop out of sport at a much higher rate than men and boys, it's a huge problem. And we should be encouraging people to stay in sport as much as we can. And not only are they going to lose players, they're then going to lose supporters. You're going to lose, like, you're going to have regression rather than progress. progress. And I think, as you said, communication, dialogue, cooperation, a lot of this needs to happen to move this forward. And yes, like Camogie football and like community is huge, and there's such support in our community and in everyone's community for supporting your players. We can't just rely on community support. We have to have it from the governing bodies, and we have to have it from these organizations that are supposed to be supporting us. And yeah, I mean, I just have to shout out to other people who have been supporting in all in this, because this, as I said, it doesn't affect just us. And you know, a lot of like Sultan Knockhart, Ballyboden, I mean, Modelligo and what, like they've all been affected by just this season, and they've been hugely supportive in all of this. And even some particular people, Oisín McConville, Graham Geraghty, Nick Fitzgerald, Mickey Burke, John Milan, Michael Ryan, like all of them have been so supportive in this. And it just shows you how pervasive this problem is. But also, on the other hand, how we can actually make change here, and like especially taking the template there from the men's side. But yeah, I think the main point is we need to keep people playing. We need to encourage them to play. We need to provide them with protection and all the elements to let them play and just
Yeah, and
chill.
I think on that, Davy, just like as Rebecca says, take the model from the men's, but go one further. I think Camogie and LGFA could go one further and facilitate a dual intercounty player, like which the men probably aren't doing at the minute. So why not go one step further, looking at the schedules and the breaks in the league? I haven't obviously looked at the championship fixtures for LGFA. But looking at both of them, there is the gaps there to facilitate a week on, week off template and go with that for fixtures. So I think that's actually like let's go with what the men have in place for the club championships, but let's go one step further in that they communicate on inter-county fixtures as well.
Yeah, and be trailblazers, be the first of their kind, and all of a sudden you're heroes from it. Rebecca, the letter talks about the integration and the collaboration for the LGFA and Camogie Association. I don't think you're naive enough to think that this can come under the GA umbrella just yet. Maybe this could be a stepping stone, but the first ask is that there's a one association model between the LGFA and Camogie Association.
Yeah, we're actually very definitely asking for the unification of Camogie and LGFA first and foremost, because I think that's more important, and it actually probably would make an integration down the line easier. And an integration of everything will take a lot of time. And I, yeah, we're very definitely just calling for the unification of football and Camogie. And yeah, and as I said, I mean, the letter's been signed by over 1,400 people now. We're trying to push on and get more people to sign and support, because then the idea would be bringing clubs and county boards and provincial boards to put a motion forward, because we have to actually like put something in procedure now and let this turn into meaningful change, as we say.
Has there been much communication, if any, from the LGFA or Camogie Association? Have they recognized what you're trying to do? Have they been in touch? Have they given you anything that you could tell us?
So we would have sent courtesy emails to say, look, this is what we're doing, because you know we want to work with them. We want to hopefully make some change. And so we sent like courtesy emails, gotten a couple responses, some not so much, because I know that some people are working on other things. So there's been a little bit of communication, but as I said, we're hoping to drive this on a bit more and then submit the letter. So yeah, we made them aware it's happening, and then we will hopefully drive on.
Sophia, the thing I love about this in a way is what Rebecca and Michelle and more people are doing. This won't change what happened to Nafina, sadly, and the likelihood is you'll hopefully never be in this situation again. It would be nice to be in two All-Ireland semi-finals again, don't get me wrong, but you're trying to change it for the next club, because it mightn't be Nafina, but it'll be somebody else, and they'll be in the shoes that you were in pre-Christmas.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like we don't know what club would do again in the future, and we don't know what club would face the issue, but we want to change it going forward. And like you say, we've had incredible GL players in the past at inter-county level, Megan and Aoife, and we don't want to lose any more of them. A prime example from our own club is Kerry Cole, and I'd hate to see that she wouldn't get to play inter-county Camogie and football. So You have to try and pave the way for the future. Like me and Rebecca might not see the benefit of it, but certainly for younger players, you definitely do want to see communication
Well, I'm much older, so I definitely
going forward. She's so modest, isn't she,
won't.
Rebecca?
I'm not here for anyone yet. Calling it my age, are you now?
In terms of obviously there's a petition as well that we haven't really touched on yet, Rebecca, that accompanies the open letter. You've got a number of signatures. You've touched on some of the high profile signatures that have supported it. Talk to us about that and where exactly people can access it, and I suppose how they can put their name down alongside it.
Sure, yeah. So we have a lot of people supporting another and a lot of players as well. So we had, Michelle Ryan, Áine Wall, Breed Stack, Breed Corkery, Anna Geary, Sarah McCaffrey, Graham Garrity, Michael Dermacauley, Dean Rock. Like a lot of players have signed this document. And yeah, as you say, where can I access it? We have a link that I'm sure a lot of WhatsApp groups have already got it by now. But if you haven't already signed it, please sign it. We're also going to be putting it up more on social media and hopefully getting out through clubs as well to sign. So yeah, and I mean maybe Dave, you might put the link in very nicely for us when you're promoting this
We
podcast.
absolutely will. I've signed it myself already, so
Yeah,
we'll have
but it's
absolutely
very
no problem
easy to
doing
do.
it. Yeah, no,
Yeah, it's
it
very
really is.
easy. Name, club, yeah, and off you
Sophia, the
go.
thing that I find gas about this is anybody I talk to about this, and you send it into WhatsApp, so you send it on to your mates or whoever, they have no hesitation signing it. So there's no resistance to this in any way, shape, or form. People are very much all on the one page, which makes it all the more peculiar that for some reason the two bodies in question can't see sense.
Yeah, and I suppose like they're two very historic associations, and you can see why they stand firm and want to be who they are. Like I know it changes so hard with the Camogie Association. We've pushed for so many years to get rid of skirts even, and they stand by their historic values, and you have to respect that. But I think it's only going to drive players away from the game, and you're trying to push the game forward and move the game forward. So it just has to be done. Like, and as you say, everybody to them. So I honestly can't see why you wouldn't. And as Rebecca said, the ideal in down the line is that all GAA would be under the one model, but that's not what we're asking for just yet, because we know it's too far down the line. So we just want communication between LGFA and Camogie, and the easiest way for them to do that is to come under the one head.
Yeah. Just to summarize it, Rebecca, what are the next steps? What are your small wins? What are your immediate goals, if you like? We know what the ultimate vision is here, if you like, but what for you is progress in the interim?
Yeah, I think getting more people talking about it, first of all, but knowing that there's actually action happening. So signing the letter, then we're gonna bring it to boards, county boards, provincial boards, to the associations themselves, hopefully get dialogue with them. But then the other track is then also, as I said, submitting those proposals and motions for AGMs and to actually, procedurally get this going. And then also in the meantime, keep playing. Another season's upon us now. So get back on the
Yeah, and
pitch.
it'd be remiss of me not to ask Sophia how our preparations going. New manager, Sophia. You're obviously in action this weekend, first game out. How are things going? You're back again. We won't age drop you either, but you've been there for a few years now.
I'm younger than you'd think, Davey. Plenty of years left. Yeah, no, preparation's going really well. Really young, fresh team in this year. So I actually do feel old on that team, despite with the fact that I'm not old. But no, yeah, Neely Cole in with us this year, and like he's a real mead hurling man, so it's just great to have him on board. We a lot of fitness work done in the last month or so. So looking forward to a day out now. We're in Trim on Saturday against Cavan. We did a tight match against them last year in league. But I think with a bit of open space and young, fresh players on the pitch, we should get a good run at them in trim.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Will I
Well,
get the call up or?
the floor is
Yeah, I
yours.
heard you're in midfield. Very Minogue, Rebecca.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, Sophia, we know you're training tonight.
And then you're out the next day for the footballers. Dual
There
player problems, what can I say?
it is in a nutshell, lads. Sophia, we know you're training tonight. You've got a new manager. You don't want to piss him off too early, so we'll let you go off and get to
Yeah.
training. We wish you well
Yeah.
for the weekend and for the year ahead. And Rebecca, we really appreciate your time as well. And we really like to acknowledge you driving this whole thing on too. So we wish you well for the immediate future too. We'll be keeping an eye on it, and certainly from our perspective, we're going to be pushing as much as we possibly can. So, girls, we really appreciate you coming on tonight and chatting.
Thanks a million.
That's great. Thanks, Davey.
Thanks.